You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm one of your co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast, and join me on the other line for what is going to be probably a four-part mailbag series is Mr. Tony. Tony, are you prepared to answer 32 mailbag questions?
You know, I think so. This has been a fun gauge for me and in what people like to talk about, because normally we ask for a mailbag, we get like 10 to 15 questions or not even that. This time we got upwards of 30. So people like to have their free agency questions answered.
Yeah. So if you listen to the intro, if you are listening to this podcast on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you can go back to previous days and listen to old mailbag ones and start. We're going to start on Tuesday. What is that? April 30th and run through May 1, 2, 3, right? That's the dates of these four mailbags. If you send us a question, we're going to answer it. I mean, it is Sunday at 6:38 Eastern time. So if your question got in before that timeline, it will be answered on this podcast. If not, unfortunately, you'll have to wait for our next mailbag show. But we have probably bitten off more than we can chew, but you know, it's a good problem to have, to get to have too much audience engagement.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Also, because of the way we're doing this, I can't do the thank you tweets to people who did questions. So you'll have to actually listen to figure out when your question gets answered this time.
Yes, but we're answering every question that got sent to us. If we missed you, you can tweet at us on Friday. We didn't get your question by Friday. And we'll answer it on our next show as an apology.
Yep. All right. Let's get to it. All right, Adam. Our first question of off-season mailbagness comes from Corden Gregory, at Corden Gregory. He says, do you think Victor Oladipo's injury makes it more difficult to land a top-tier free agent? That's a good question.
I don't know. That's a 50. I think it probably doesn't.
I agree.
Because I don't think they're going to land a top-tier free agent, whether he was – I mean, I guess if he had like a LeBron-style year, they would land a guy. But, like, they weren't just going to land a LeBron free agent just, like, all of a sudden. It didn't, you know.
To me, if a free agent was already considering the Pacers anyway, like, I don't think that their perception of the team will have changed too much because of this injury, if that makes sense, you know.
Yeah, and I don't
like the reasons they would have liked the Pacers would be the same.
Yeah, and it from all indications, it seemed like Vic's going to come back healthy, and
like he probably won't be the exact same player. And I guess if that's their thinking, then sure, it hurts, and it hurts the team for sure. But I generally don't think so with other guys, just because that implies that they already were considering the Pacers if they're considering them now less. So I'm going to go with no, but only because of that.
Yeah, and I also think there weren't that many big name free agents thinking about the Pacers anyway. So it's not like it's like losing out on getting, like, you were going to get nothing anyways. And it's just an excuse to say why you got nothing.
Yes, I 100% agree with you. All right. Number two. This one is fun. We're going to get a lot of questions like this. So we'll do one right. Do you think free agents like Terrence Ross, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Jamichael Green make sense for the Pacers? What about potential trades for guys like Aaron Gordon and Torian Prince? I'm mainly thinking role players here, not stars. So I did, Adam, I don't know if you listened yet or at all, three guys that aren't as like high caliber they could sign last week for a show. It was none of those three guys, but I think a lot of questions came in that realm after that. But these are three good guys to sign, two good guys to trade for. So you want to start with the free agents?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. I'm going to go Terrence Ross I would like, and Jamichael Green I would like, and Caldwell Pope I would not like. And I will give reasonings after you go.
I think I'm yes on Terrence Ross, and the other two I'm cost concerned, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Jamichael Green's like a $5 million player.
Yeah, I know, but it seems like I guess it seemed like, could you be like, right? He would probably be one of those exception players, essentially. That's what he probably signed for.
If you get him for the room exception, that's awesome. That's perfect.
Well, the question is do they need that a difference? I guess the forward spot is when they're going to need it at, right? It's going to be kind of the area of need. They have enough guards. They're not going to use it on a guard. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like,
room exception is the Kylo Quinn exception, right? Like, that's the level of player.
Yeah.
Jamichael Green's probably the highest end of that. He's probably out of it, if I'm being honest, but if you could get him in, and I think that would help. They do need forward depth, like you said.
And right, if they end up going over the cap, won't they get the mid-level exception then?
No. If you use cap space at all, even if you okay. get over the cap eventually. You don't get
it'll be the next year they could qualify for it.
Yep. Yep. Okay. But they could stay over the cap. I mean, that's not what we're talking about right now, at some point maybe, but they could stay over, but I don't think they will.
Yeah. I mean, my only problem is he a valuable enough player at that level of $4 or $5 million? Like, is there somebody that you you're better off? Do you need a third center?
Opportunity like, cost, exactly.
Yeah, that's the only thing. But I don't mean I wouldn't mind him. And Caldwell Pope, it worries me because he's made so much. He's definitely not worth the salary he's made the past years.
No, KCP, it gives me Tyreek vibes, and then he just kind of wouldn't fit. You know, he's just like a two that can do some stuff, but not enough stuff to me.
Yeah, and to me, it seems like if you're gonna bring in role players, like why not just bring the guys you already have back? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna why would you bring in? Maybe you're bringing one, but like, why would you bring in three new role players to fill three guys that are going out? When clearly, I mean, even if you're going to maybe pay too much for them or you feel like they're a little bit past that chemistry and stuff like that is more valuable than just like mixing it up every year. I mean, you can see that basically when you've got kind of the same guys year in, year out, it tends to lead to more success just in general.
Exactly.
In the NBA and like life probably in general. Working with the same people over and over
again. Terrence Ross, I'm all about though. If that can happen, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, he's one of those players.
Both because they wouldn't have to play it. Both because they wouldn't have to play against him and because he'd help.
Yeah, well, and he's one of those players where you add, he's the one guy you add, and then you have you pretty much bring a lot back, and then you add him. That's that's a pretty good move.
Doug McDermott couldn't even play in the playoffs. Any wing that can, the team needs.
Yeah. What were Ross's playoff stats? I haven't actually looked them up.
I don't know. I mean, the Raptors kind of took every single Magic player out of that series.
Well, that game one, that was a pretty good series. I'm looking up real fast.
You know, Terrence Ross has an E instead of an A in Terrence because I did not, and I just spelled it.
Yeah, well, so his playoff stats were 13 points per game.
Playoffs per game. Yeah, 13.2 points per game is pretty good. Didn't shoot well from the field, though.
Yeah, that's probably a high volume, high stat, or bad. Was it
not shoot well from
bad the field. Team good stat guy. Bad team good stat guy. No, but he's a guy who probably pretty – I mean, he can play in the playoffs, I guess. That's what this kind of proves.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Those stats would have been great from McDermott.
The thing is you – yeah, true. You would just be recreating what the 2015-16 Raptors at this point, right? You bring in – basically, right? And Ross came off their bench, right?
There you go. Get Rudy Gay right there in there, yeah. Wait, 15 or 15-16 Raptors?
15-16, the bench, the one that the Pacers. You're basically rebuilding that bench. You got to go out of the basement and then you're good.
Who else did they have that would be available? This is fun.
I mean,
this is a fun tangent. I have
the eight guys in that roster, if I remember right, were Lowry, DeRozan, Carroll. Oh, who played the four? Somebody, Patterson played the four, and then
Scola
played the four for them. But he started for them
Louis
the
Scola, of all people. Yeah, he did.
Okay, and then off the bench,
their bench was James Johnson, Terrence Ross,
Bismack,
Norman Powell, and Bismack. Yeah,
and Corey Joseph, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't Coach on that?
They had 11 guys on that team who ended up averaging like 15 minutes or more a game.
It's classic Toronto.
Pretty deep team.
Toronto way.
Yeah, the Toronto. Yeah, everyone but Biombo would be fine, I guess. That'd be fun.
Well, I'm just saying you got Kojo coming off the bench. You got Bismack off the bench. Yeah. So you're pretty much just got to – or you got Kojo and Ross. You just got at Bismack.
Oh, they acquired Damari Carroll that year. Okay, I see why the starter numbers are confusing. Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
No longer confused.
Okay, whatever it is, I don't think it was that bad.
The second part of this question was the trade guys, Taurean Prince and Eric Gordon. Yeah, I think they both help. I wrote about trading for Taurean Prince during the season. I thought that made some sense because after Vic got hurt, you could kind of get a younger guy who could contribute now, but it probably would have costed a first-round pick. I'm not sure that it would anymore, so maybe you could take that swing because he's a young wing who can develop something, and Eric Gordon is an established wing who is good. So I don't know why the Rockets would trade Eric Gordon, but if you can
wait, is it Eric Gordon or Aaron Gordon?
Eric with an E.
Okay,
Eric with an E. I hope he meant that one.
Yeah, I don't see Eric Gordon. I mean, the Rockets need every good.
I don't know why they would trade him away. Yeah, so you have to blow them away for that.
Yeah, you have to Taurean Prince. I guess means is he? So he's on the last year of his deal because his fifth year.
Taurean Prince makes some sense.
No, but this is the last year of his deal. The next year,
he's on the last year of his rookie scale. Next year,
right?
No, next year's the last deal of year of his rookie scale.
Yeah, so that's why it might be cheaper.
The year in question, right? And his value goes down because after one season, you have to pay him, and that's the crappy part of trading for those guys.
So, what could you? What?
Yeah, that's an interesting case.
What would you give up to get?
Last year they were asking for like a late first and a young player, which I was like TJ Leaf in a first. Look it up. Lock it up. But now I think it's probably only one of those two things. Because what, I just said, he has to get paid. But TJ Leaf alone is not enough. So I don't know if they have.
What if you like Leaf and McDermott for him in a second?
That's probably not. I mean, it's okay. If they would take that, I would do that. But I don't think they would.
I'm just trying to think because you could get him and dump some salary. Like, I don't think it's you wouldn't do McDermott at first. That's too much for him, probably.
Yeah. It's a hard fit to find, but in the summer, everything kind of changes. So you never know.
I guess you would do McDermott at first because you would save about, what, $4 million. And if you knew you were going to spend whatever, also your first round pick.
Well, really, $6 million with the first round picks.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you knew you could spend that $6 million on something else, you would do it. But
yeah. And Torian Prince. Like, he's good. He's a good player. He's a role player, like this tweet said, but he's good.
And, you know, it'd be rare to give up a first-round pick. Because remember, they gave up a first-round pick for Thad Young. And I know Thad has been great, but Caris LeVert is, like, the opportunity cost to that, basically.
They were not going to pick Caris. I'm almost positive they were not going to pick
him. No, but I mean, in general, that's the opportunity cost. Like, that type of player could be there, theoretically.
The Kawhi one, they were going to pick Kawhi, or, like, there were rumblings that they were going to pick Kawhi. So that one we can say in retrospect, but... If Caris gets good, I'm going to be like, guys, they were not going to pick Caris LeVert.
Well, plus, they should have the 18th, which is a little bit better than when they had when they traded for Thad, too.
That's true.
It's a little better. I mean, you get a, you know.
If they re-sign Thad, like, that value will be fine.
It's not, like, terrible, but I'm saying that, like, that is a thing. Because Thad makes how much money versus Caris makes how much money. That's the difference, really.
Right.
Is that Thad has made $12 million for the past 3 years, and Caris made, like, three.
All right. The next one comes from Ryan Eggers. Back at 8.9 seconds, writing stuff. At Fueled by Ryan, typed it out in a cute way, but he said, Julius Randle, ? Sure. Sure. He's like young. He's like young worse Thad, I guess. You know?
Be cheaper than Thad? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know.
He had a really freaking good year.
His defense was so awful.
I know, but he averaged 21-8.
Pelicans people like hate Julius Randle.
He shot – so, I mean, I know defensively, okay, but he shot 21 points, 8 points every minute on 52.5% shooting. I mean, that's
– Yeah, he scored 21.4 points per game on under 15 shots a game. I think if Thad signs elsewhere, he would be a good choice.
He's an impressive offensive player. And the question is, if you got him, could you put him in your system and make him work because you have some other good defensive players?
Carter Rodriguez rule is like when your team acquires a guy, if his incumbent team's fans – are sad, that's generally a good sign. And as much as Julius Randle is like, look at all these numbers, like I think Pelicans fans would be like, see ya, get out of here.
I mean, that's because they want to tank.
Scares me a little bit.
I think it's going to be next year. That's not because they care about Julius.
Julius Randle didn't tank. Players don't tank organizations.
No, I mean, that's because they want their team to tank next year. So they don't care every time because they're going to
retreat. No, but they wouldn't want him back because they don't like him now.
I don't know. Are there really any Pelican fans out there anyways? I've seen that. You've seen those games. The stadium's empty.
I like my Pelicans people. Yeah. They're good people.
I mean, I'm not trying to call out New Orleans, the city, but I mean, they're a football town.
This is not all to say I wouldn't mind Julius Randle. Like, he'd be awesome in Thad's role if Thad doesn't come back. He's a good player.
What could you get him for? Like, what was the cost? 3 for 27? Is that too cheap?
He's probably way too cheap.
Right.
I was going to say like 3 for 40.
That's what I 3 for 27 is probably where he was before.
3 for 42. Yeah, after this last year.
I see. I don't know. I don't know.
He just can't defend anything.
Yeah, but you got to remember
the Thad can defend the perimeter so well, and that is so important.
But the thing is, the Pacers have really good defensive coaches. I mean,
that's true. That, everyone who comes here ever has become a better defender. That's true.
I mean, the thing about it is like. And Thad is turning 30 or over 31 now. He's going to be 32 this summer. Like, is there going to be some, right? He's going to be 30. Is he 32 this summer or 31?
31.
31. Okay. Sorry. If you have next year. I want to get the Thad age right. But you have Randle, who's what? Like 25. He'll be 25 next season.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm not saying no. I'm saying there's a reason not to. And
I know. I mean, especially if Thad ends up at an uncomfortable price, I'd rather give him Randle 3 for 42 than Thad 3 for 40.
Absolutely.
So let's put it that way. I would.
At equal money, I agree. I'd rather have
Randle. Just because you put Randle in their offense and they could do some shit.
He's a player though. He can't create his own shot. And that's something we're talking about with a lot of guys the Pacers could potentially acquire.
Yeah, that's
fair. Like that's the Eric Gordon thing that is attractive if he's available. It's like, That is a player who can create his own shot, and it doesn't suck. Like, they need anyone like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we proved that this, right? They Bears have too many guys who are good at specialty and not good at just, like, being an all-around basketball player.
Reek was supposed to be that guy. He wasn't. That's okay. Move on. Try to find another one.
It's great to have a ton of specialists when you've got a player who can lead them. But when you don't play and lead them, you're kind of effed.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that was their problem.
All right. We're going to do a break and then a draft question, Adam.
Today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Maybe you're a NBA team in search of your number two star to go along your awesome number one player. You need a guy who can score on his own, but can be off the ball, whatever it is. Maybe you're looking for that. Well, ZipRecruiter is the best place to go. It's hard to find qualified candidates, and sometimes it takes forever. And oftentimes, there are way too many applicants. Well, ZipRecruiter makes this all easy. Go to the URL, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's this podcast network, ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. They can help you start. ZipRecruiter sends your job to 100 of the world's leading job boards, but they don't just stop there. With the powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience to apply for your job. Maybe they recommend Mike Conley or Drew Holiday. Who knows? ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within one day. That's one day. 80% of employers get a qualified candidate within one day. And right now, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. That's LOCKEDON, ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
All right, CW Moran at CW Moran 13 says, okay, so this is long because he went through why he liked the player too, which I'm okay with. He says, I'm a Kentucky fan, so I'm admittedly biased, but I do believe they would both be good fits in different ways regardless of that. What are your thoughts on the Pacers drafting Tyler Hero or PJ Washington at 18? Hero feels like the perfect wing for this team. Good shooter. Could be a great shooter, better driver, and more athletic. The same with defense, but I don't agree with his defense. We'll talk about it in a second. And then he said, everyone wants Klay Thompson, and he'll probably never come to Indy. So I say draft Hero and hope he develops into a Klay-type player. PJ Washington, I think, could be the young PF eventual Thad replacement that we are all looking for. That is the assessment I also agree with. And he said, it feels like he could play with Turner or Sabonis. So I don't know how much college basketball you watched, Adam, but I did watch a few Kentucky games.
I care so little about college basketball, I'm going to be honest.
That Tyler Hero kid is not a good defender. He's just not. He's like pretty bouncy off score, but I'm not like super.
I don't trust your defensive metrics. Like, because Aaron Holiday, you said, was a terrible defender. He's not a terrible defender.
He was a terrible defender last year.
He was better than you. Like, you would, like, he was going to be like, I'm trying to think of a guy out there, like J.J. Barea out there, essentially.
No, he was better than Barea. He wasn't a good defender, though. He wasn't a good defender in college either.
I don't know if I trust you as much. I'm going to be honest. I became
it's an opinion. You're allowed to disagree, but I don't think
you're skeptical of your college defenders because I don't think anybody.
I don't have any stats. I just don't think he's a good defender.
I don't think anybody plays good D in college, anyways. To be honest, I think it's like a
college basketball very boring. Well, PJ Washington, why I like him is because he is a good defender. Like, that's why I like his ability to grow into with that, and I like defensive forwards, and thus I would be okay with PJ Washington and not Tyler Hero. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, and Rant.
Okay, I was just going to say, the only good defense in college are the ones that play 2-3 because they slow it down and screw everything up and make everybody panic. It's the only reason. There's no good individual defenders in college is all, so I don't like to just trust college defense, and also I've watched very little of these guys.
What was that guy last year? Javon Carter. He was a great individual defender, and I love that dude.
Okay, well, I have watched very little of Tyler Hero or PJ Washington. I know the names. That's about it. So I'm going to defer to your fan.
Just disagree with me for the sake of the show.
Who did you say they could pick?
I said PJ Washington, although Tyler Hero does have Larry Bird written all over him.
Oh, my
take
God.
Take that for what you will.
Oh, my God. What do you mean Larry Bird written all over him?
He seems like a guy Larry Bird would pick.
Oh, I thought you were comparing him to Larry
Bird. No. Sorry. For anyone listening that just interpreted it the way Adam did. No. He does not have Larry Bird skills written all over him. He has a Larry Bird pick written all over him.
I almost thought, did you just compare? Right. All right. Tyler Hero is a white dude, right? He's like the tall white dude from Kentucky.
He's a tall white wing.
I'm like, did you just compare Larry Bird because he's white is what I thought for a minute. Okay.
No.
All right. He has Larry Bird drafting him all over him.
100%. Yes.
He has there the we go. Miles Plumlee feel? Mason Plumlee. What should they draft? Mason Plumlee, right?
They drafted Miles. Mason got drafted by Portland, I think.
Yeah, he has a Miles Plumlee feel to him.
And we're mean. We are ruthless. We'll do draft stuff later in the summer when I can actually like watch
games. I don't have
a ton of time for that yet.
Yeah, when I start reading about the guys and watching combine stuff, I don't know. I don't care. I just haven't been in college basketball mode, to be honest. I watched the tournament.
Yeah, I watched Kentucky in the tournament. That's mostly what I'm basing this assessment off of. But like, those are the best players, and if Tyler Hero can't guard those guys,
do the Patriots draft Kyle Guy?
Maybe in the second round. Three Mr. Basketballs in one draft, Adam. How exciting is that?
That's super exciting.
I'm the only person who cares.
Yeah, no. You and probably the indie star digital producers.
All right. I don't know how to say this one. Adam, if I say their name is spelled J-A-I-M-E-Z, how would you say it?
J-A-I-M-E-Z. A-I-M-E-Z.
Yes, it's that, and then Scott after it in their at.
I don't know. You mess up this. No, I'm not even going to try.
Jamie Z or Jaime Z or whoever you are. Go ahead.
Say it's probably Z is probably the middle initial, but I don't want to mess that up. So you go ahead.
Their question that they have phrased as a statement. So this mailbag is actually like they wrote us a letter. He says, all in on Nikola Mirotic. The one and or the four must be upgraded or expect more first round exits. You can expect whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you to not or to expect something. But I am all about Nikola Mirotic. And I think something that is in Mirotic's favor and something I've talked about with him on the show is the fact that he's a stretch four. And KP has talked many times about wanting the stretch four.
Every team wants stretch four. Let's put it that way. Remember that. It isn't like that.
If competent stretch fours were easy to get, every team would have them.
Exactly.
Yes, you are correct.
He said they need to improve the one and the four. Yeah, in a way. I guess what the Pacers need is not to actually improve those spots. They need to give guys on the roster opportunity to play in those spots, I guess. Be the right way to say it.
They definitely need to improve the one.
What I mean is that like they need to probably bring in a really good two and make Vic the one. That's how they improve.
Oh, that'd be it.
What I mean.
So the JJ pod's out by now. We're recording this before that. The JJ was talking about, and I'm with him, kind of just like a formality, right? Like who takes the ball up the court with the way the Pacers play? It's just like four guards, you know?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really matter. You know, we're so zoned in on the one, but it's just like a guard, you know?
That's what I mean. I think what they need is a more complimentary guard to Vic than just some pure point guard. That's what I guess I would say.
Collison. Good 2017. No, sorry. Yeah, 17, 18. Yeah, I was right. 17, 18. Collison was close because he could shoot and get it off quickly. 18, 19. Collison was not as much.
Yeah, and 18, 19. Collison was more like playoff Collison, too. So that's why.
That is another part of the problem here.
That's the problem.
Right.
I mean, I think the problem is.
Well, that's why Drew, even though Drew's never going to be available. And David Griffin, by the way, Adam has said on TV, if he ever got the New Orleans job, he would not trade Drew. And now he has the New Orleans job.
We'll see. I mean,
Drew is the ideal guy, though, because he can play one or two and he can do everything.
You're telling me Drew's not going to say he wants out. That's what I would say.
No, he's not.
Yes, they do. If they trade Davis, he's like, I want to. He said that. I
highly doubt it.
Didn't he say that in February? Yeah, he was like, I'm 90% want to be here. Didn't he say that?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think he said something along those lines. Like, I don't know if I really want to be here.
We're fighting about another team again.
I know. This is
All in on Mirotic. I am. Agreed, sir.
Yeah, I mean, Mirotic, just because you could bring Thad and Mirotic in, to be honest. They could both
figure it out. You could.
I mean, Mirotic
I'm not really saying I'd like either of them to play the three, but.
The thing that you would think with the Pacers is, could they figure out how to develop a stretch four? That's like the long term.
Yeah, they haven't had one in forever.
Well, I mean, they thought they could have it in TJ Leaf, right? That was the thought. That was an idiot pick.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the stretch four of the future is that for two seasons and whoever they develop in the draft.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the problem. Stretch fours are so hard to find. You kind of have to develop your stretch four. So you have to turn Bowie into a stretch four or something like that. Like, you can't just like.
Dermot. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Mirotic. There's a reason there's only like one really stretch four available right now because the good ones are all locked up. I guess Harris is available in a sense, but he's kind of not the same one because he's going to get a big contract and they're not going to be able to get him from Philadelphia probably. But that's kind of the problem is that the good ones are all, everybody's locked up and once is never given.
Again, if it was easy to have it, every team would have it. With wings who can defend competently and score off the dribble. Like if every team could have it, they would. Yeah. All right. Nick the Koala, Nick Jeffers. at Nick the Koala, excuse me, says, give me a Domas-centered trade we could make that is not for Mike Conley. If available, one of the players, Drew Holiday, that we just talked about, is one of those guys.
I'm wondering, he's probably...
That's hard.
You don't want to sign and trade him. Like really? Use him in a, like, I'm not supposed to, like, use him in if Butler doesn't want to go somewhere, wants the 5-year deal and you were traded for Butler, but you could probably get less than a bonus to get Butler from Philly in that situation.
Yeah, except that doesn't make a lot of sense as a sign and trade. The 5-year deal. You're right. Okay. I take that back.
Yeah. Because he can't get 5 years anywhere else but Philly. So you sign him.
And then same with Kemba in the same way if they want to do that. But that's just like, why?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think who's going to be available.
With Max guys, it's so rare that I'm not considering that.
Well, yeah. And who's really going to be available? I mean, I feel like a lot of teams feel like
that's what I'm having trouble thinking about on other teams. Like, who is the value that I agree with and is available. But that is super hard to come up with.
Right? Like, even if you think like Hayward's available, I don't think Sabonis is the move, because if Hayward's available, that means Horford.
NBA teams or players or something like that, so I can think of all of them.
Is there a trade to send him to the Clippers for some package of guys when if they try to
Gallinari and
let them clear some space to get 2 max guys, right? Do they have enough space for 2 max guys yet, the Clippers?
No, they will if they get rid of Gallo, though.
Right, so maybe he's that move. You get Beverly and Gallo in the trade for him. So
yeah.
Beverly on contract still. The problem is we're so early in the.
I know.
We probably haven't thought about who's actually.
Oh, available. I got one for you, Adam. Okay. Maybe, and then you'd for sure give him up in this deal, Beal, right?
Oh, I thought about Beal. I just didn't think he'd be available.
I think Drew's more likely to be available than Beal. That's hilarious.
I know. I thought you would yell at me for bringing up Beal because he's not available either, Adam.
Yeah, I don't think Beal's available, but he's, I guess, enough of available in that he has speculation about his future. Man, let's see. I'm going through every team in my head to see.
It's hard.
Really,
I mean,
it's really hard.
What's the key with, I mean, if you're going to trade the bonus, you got to either do it for a star or you got to trade it for something like 2 really valuable pieces that help your bench in a different way than Sabonis does. So like a really good, like a Gallo and Beverly for Sabonis actually might be fair value, to be honest. But then it depends where you value Sabonis. Because
what about like Robert Covington or something like that? Is that not enough? I think that might be not enough.
Well, so here's the thing is Sabonis' potential is starting center. But his fit with the Pacers is not that. So you have to value that. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get like a top level bench player value out of him. And you're not going to get maybe a little bit more, but you're not going to get starting center value out of him. Young starting center. Because Pacers, teams know that Pacers can't make him a starting center. They're not going to give the farm for him.
I want this, Adam, what you're saying right now should be a preach to every Pacers person this summer. Is because it's not the value the player has to your team in what they're available in trades. It's the value they have to the team that would get them.
Yeah,
and because everybody fits in the ecosystem of their team and that's been designed for them, their value to other teams is less than the one that they're currently on, which is why their trade value is always less than you think it is.
Yeah, and he's a traditional center, and those are out of date, so even lowers his value a little bit, tiny bit. He would kind of fit in a team that's young, has a guard. Like, to be honest, he actually would fit in Atlanta kind of well. You know, you're hoping to re-sign him, let him grow with whoever you're. If you get Zion and you get whatever, and you build those up. But I don't see really Atlanta wanting to give up a ton for Sabonis and stuff like that. So I mean, it's one of those type of teams.
This is hard. This is a harder exercise than I thought it would.
No, because it makes the only trade that makes sense for Sabonis is for Conley. I mean, that's the trade. And really, it makes more sense to trade Aaron Holiday for Conley because then you're looking at guard for a guard.
Yeah.
Because they have a center, isn't
Jaren? I agree with that the whole time, anyway.
Yeah, and Jaren Jackson plays center, so they
and Valanciunas.
Plus, honestly, I think you just bring Sabonis back, you give it another shot, and you see, okay, maybe he's better than Turner. You try to figure that out. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, you want to do another break and then close out this episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, our next one's a unique one. Do you like unique questions?
I do.
Okay, and also this one is from a guy who just started 8.9 seconds, so congrats to him. Jordan Brandenburg, one of the original listeners of the show, probably like the first, who's at Brandy Hoop, says, your thoughts on Oladipo being the primary ball handler next year is the first part of the question, and we both love that idea.
Yes, 100%.
Very high on that idea. I think just in general that, you know, because of, like, he basically is anyway, right? Like, why not initiate plays with him instead of whoever the heck else?
And there's never a reason not to give the best player in team the ball more. Yes. There's never not. It's like you just want the ball in your best player's hands at all times.
It's not even like it's going to change his shot profile or anything. It's just like a small difference.
You just want the ball in the hand of the guy that made the best decision. You know, it's why James Harden is like the perfect way, because like they decided like, why would we play Harden at the two, whatever, in playoff? Like, we want the ball in the best position. Now, he'll give it to Chris Paul time to trade it off, because Chris Paul can be at a level that Harden can reach sometimes. But you want the ball in your best player's hands as much as possible, because they can create the most with the ball. And now if you get him a Conley and a Drew Holler or something like that, then you're kind of adding that, and you can give it like a 50-50 split, but same kind of, you want the ball in his hands as much as possible.
All right, the next one's a little off the wall, but I like off the wall. Utah Jazz call the Pacers, and they offer Gobert and Mitchell for Oladipo and one of Sabonis and Turner. Without considering contracts and cap space, would you consider this trade? My answer, absolutely.
Yeah, Mitchell's so young.
Yes, Mitchell has a chance to be better than Vic, and Gobert's probably going to make All-NBA as the third best center in the league and has like 3 minutes.
Yeah, Gobert's better than Turner and...
And Sabonis, easily. Yeah, way better.
And Mitchell is worse than Vic, but you think at what's Mitchell like, 24? You think at 24 he's going to be better, hopefully.
Sold, especially with Vic's injury.
Well, plus think about it. You put that Utah team in the East, how far do they go this year?
Very.
You're right. They would be in the probably.
Make the conference finals, probably.
Yeah, I don't know how.
I might be.
Well, if you flip Utah and the Pacers, because they were both the 5 seeds, right? Yeah. Does Utah beat Boston?
Maybe.
I mean, that's a close series. 7 games, probably.
That's a fun question, but I think I like the thought of that question, but I think the answer might be a little easier than anticipated. When asking that. Yeah. All right, Adam, I got pressure on this next one.
All right.
Because they sent me a tweet on how to pronounce their name.
Ooh.
But it's easy. It's Ayris. AYE-RIS. Ayris. There it is. I'm going to say it slow and easy. He said, don't butcher it like last time. Thanks. It's okay. It's cool, dude. He says, Ayris at AYRUUUS says, looks like the Pacers are really high on Holiday. And for those of you that don't know, check out the Indy Star, J. Michael interview Larry Bird about him. Says, is it possible they let him take over the point guard spot next year, let Thad and Bojan go on, and move to get a high-level power forward like Tobias or small forward like Butler? Feels like they'll trade or go sign a point guard and keep Thad and Bojan. I agree with your sentiment at the end that that's what it feels like they'll do. However, to your first part, I do not think there's a way that Holiday starts next year.
No, he wasn't good enough.
I think he's for sure one of the four guards in the rotation. I think there's almost no way he's a starter.
So the better question is, by the end of the year, is Holiday starting?
That is possible. It depends if they acquire – like if they bring back Corey Joseph, then yeah, probably by the end of the year he's starting. But if they actually get someone good, then no.
We're interested to see what the Pacers value. Do they go after a big four or they like 3 or 4 player, or do they go after a one? What do they feel like they need more? Because do they feel like, oh, we can bring back Kojo, we can bring back DC Holiday and run it back, and then we can go after and get some small forward power forward that can really improve us? Or is the other way, there's the NBA has more high level guards and high level forwards, so there are more high level guards available. That's just the way it works. So, I mean, that's what the Pacers have to figure out this offseason.
That's why Bojan and Thad are kind of important beyond being good. Is that hard? Good forwards are hard to get.
Yeah, and then there's a point too where they get priced out. Like I really think Bojan's gonna get priced out of the Pacers.
Wow. Yeah, I've seen people on Twitter doing Pacers cap stuff where like, oh, they might have to clear some space when Bojan gets 4 for 80. I was like, oh, see you, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't touch that.
4 for 80.
So this tests your theory of
Capella money, dude. Like what?
No, but this tests your theory. Are fans, if he leaves, are you happy he left? Because I mean, Bojan is still good.
No, that's not what the theory means. It's like, are they sad that a good player that they like left? Not like, oh, the money's not worth it. Not sad. Like that's not what it means.
I know. I'm just trying to poke a hole in your. I mean, because. I think at 15, I'd be like, if he signed the 3 or 45 deal, I'd be like, oh, you probably should have resigned him on that one. But 3 for 60, hell no.
The player that created the theory was Rodney Hood, because Carter Rodriguez is a Cavs guy. And they got Rodney Hood, and all the Jazz people were like, okay, here's Rodney Hood. And he was like, shit. Why are they happy they don't have Rodney Hood?
I think they watched that first game of the NBA Finals last year and realized that right away.
Rodney Hood is not very good. No, Rodney Hood also, by the way, just like as a sneaky, low-key guard, might make some sense here, unfortunately. Okay, that was a good first episode, Adam. Are you ready to do 3 more?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you for tuning in to part one of the. Oh, we're doing the exit at the end. Cut this part, Adam.
Crap. No, say thank you for. God dang it. You say thank you for part one. We'll see you guys tomorrow for part two.
Okay. I'm going to pause so you know there's something here. All right. Thank you guys for tuning into part one of the mailbag stuff we got going on. It's super fun to talk free agency, trades, and all that stuff. The offseason is one of the most fun times of the basketball year. Check out tomorrow for part two of the mailbag. And thank you guys for listening.